I've been preaching out at Granada Baptist Church. They don't have a sound system, so I forgot to cut my lapel on. There's the reason my voice is a little bit raspy tonight, but I may be a little bit too strong, guys. I don't know if I'm a little bit too loud. If you might want to tone me down just a little bit. I thought what I'd do tonight, if you'll go ahead and open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3, I'm going to kind of use the last 6 days that I spent out on what Brother Haynes affectionately calls the res, and talk to you tonight about going all the way for the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5 and 6. Would you stand? You'll recognize it once you get there. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? Does God deserve all or part? Then why do we give Him the leftovers? We give Him the parts of our life that we think that are unusable for us. And yet the Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now here's the text verse. In, there it is again, all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. I want to use verse 6 tonight, talk to you for just a few moments, not long tonight, about going all the way for the Lord. Father, bless our time together. It's a privilege to be able to be a part of the house of God and the service tonight. We pray that you'd stir us for your word and for your work in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. I just spent 6 days on the Navajo Indian Reservation in Arizona. Now, let me just say a quick word about that. You know, all of these animal activists that are so afraid that we're running out of room for animals to survive, they need to follow me. I'll show them where there's a lot of room, all right? And they can just let them all go and they'll never see them again, I promise you. But I spent 6 days on the Navajo Indian Reservation, and I went with the intent of preaching a missions conference and being a blessing to the people there at Granada Baptist Church. But when I got there, and after it was all over, I got more than they got. When I went to be a blessing, God showed me some things in my life and did in me, and what He did in me was greater than what I expected when I got there. You see, any time that you go out to be a blessing to someone, you'll find out that in the course, God uses those things and what you're doing to return that to you in many ways. And that's kind of how it was. You see, so many times, church, in our Christian life, we go and do for others with the intent of being a blessing. And what we find out is that we receive a greater blessing in return than what we delivered. And that's kind of the situation that happened here. And what God does is He opens our heart and spiritual eyes to some things when we're trying to be an encouragement and a blessing to others. You know, I try to be very observant when I'm out at other churches and in other ministries because, folks, I think we've all figured out we probably don't have all the answers, that there may be some other things going on that might be tweaked here or there that might be a little bit better than how we're going about attacking things. And so when I'm out, I'm very observant to watch how people go about the ministry and what they do. I look and listen to what's going on, but I also observe the people and the spirit in which the people serve God. You know, it doesn't take but about 0.2 seconds to figure out when you step into a church whether the church is of God or cold as a cucumber. It don't take long. You also find out whether people are excited about serving God or they're not. And so when I stepped in to Granada Baptist Church, there was no question in my mind that these people loved God. They were very easy to preach to. And, you know, most of the Navajo people, as I began to talk with each family and people, most of the Navajo people do not live lucrative lifestyles. Many of the folks there in the church live a very meager lifestyle with very, very few possessions. When you go to church with these dear folks that I spent 6 days with, you'd never know that many of them face heartaches and struggles in their life. You see, some face situations beyond measure. Some beyond our comprehension what some face in their struggles. Just the struggle to come to church in many cases. Some face every single week of their life just to come to church. Now, I observe for 6 days a people that God loves and God has saved from hell just like He saved us here. The same sins that are facing us today here in Arlington, Texas also face those on the Navajo Reservation. The same family and physical trials that we face here, they face also on the res. But I noticed some things about the Navajo Christians that I want to bring to light to maybe help us to stop and think a few moments about us individually and about our church as well. First of all, I want you to jot these down because as I spent 6 days with these people preaching to them, they preached a sermon to me much louder than I was preaching to them. And I want to share some things that I observed about these dear people as they came to the house of God. Many of the folks had to come in by vans. Many of them do not have transportation. They live in meager situations. But one of the things that I noticed, first of all, was an overwhelming joy for God. Now remember Philippians 4:4, the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord. How often? And again I say, rejoice. One of the things I noticed about the people, the Navajo people, when they would come to church, they came with an overwhelming joy for God. They did not come, I talked to everybody. I did not hear one person complain about their living conditions. I did not hear one person complain about how little money they may have had in their pocket. I did not hear one person complain to me, and by the way, they had all kinds of opportunities because I sat after church and talked and talked and talked. They had every opportunity to complain, not one time. Did anybody complain about anything? And you know what I noticed? Because they had a joy inside them that was the joy of the Lord. I noticed that one of the things that seemed to be the frequent subject of conversation was they hadn't lost the joy of their salvation. They would come and say, Preacher, let me tell you something. I'm here today because of such and such and such and such and such and such. These people came to my house. And by the way, in some areas, you have to go there on purpose. You don't pass by their house by error. You go there on purpose. And when they see you coming, they know somebody's coming. You ain't going to sneak up on anybody. All right? But I noticed they had not lost the joy of being saved. And may I say to you something? Sometimes, folks, we big city folk, we come to church and sometimes we forget about the joy of what we've experienced in Jesus Christ. We lose the joy of serving God and the joy of being saved. These folks had not lost the joy. They hadn't gotten over being saved. And some of them were saved out of a life of drunkenness and drugs and immorality and on, by the way, just like some of us have. Amen? Okay? So what I'm saying is if we're not careful, we lose the joy of being saved. And folks, listen, that is the greatest possession we have in our life, is our salvation. We ought to be happy about it, excited that we've been born into the family of God. Something else I noticed, they hadn't lost the joy of their salvation. I also noticed that they were not distracted by the cares of life. Money was not an issue. They weren't distracted because they may not have driven up in a nicer vehicle. They didn't seem to be distracted because they may not have had a lot of money in their pocket. They weren't distracted about some of the cares of life that we in the big city seem to be distracted with. And by the way, folks, you know what? We are very easily distracted. Now listen, it's nothing more than a tactic of the devil to distract us from the main thing. But as I observed these folks, they had the joy of their salvation, they had the joy of serving God, and they weren't distracted by the cares of this life. And boy, some situations, I can sit here and tell you stories all night long. Some of these situations, people would come and they would give me their testimony. Some of these young people and teenagers would come and give me their testimony. I talked to one teenage girl and that was at our youth conference this past year. And I walked up to her, and I can't remember her name, leaves me right now, but I walked up to her and I said, are you going to be able to come back to youth conference? She said, there's no question about it. She said, it's not if I come. She said, you can count on it. I will be there. She said, the youth conference this year changed her life. Matter of fact, Brother Haynes gave testimony. He said, since the youth conference this year, she's gone back to the rest, hadn't been the same kid since. Totally turned around, rededicated her life to the Lord. But not distracted by the cares of life. Their focus was on, listen now, the worship of God, not about what's going on in other people's lives. Amen. They weren't concerned about what brother and so and sister and so were tangled up in. You know what they were there for? Worship God. Amen. And man, I'm telling you, they worshiped God. They were thankful for being saved. They weren't distracted by the cares of this life. And when they came to church, they came for one reason and one reason only, and that's to worship God. I wonder how many of us came tonight with the intent of worshiping God. Or did some of us come tonight concerned about what's going on in somebody else's life? You know what that is? That's getting distracted from the main thing. We need to stay focused on what we're there for. Oh, listen to this now. This is important. I said they came to worship God. And let me tell you something. They were a singing people. When it was time to sing, brother, they sang. We sang in English, and we sang in Navajo. You say, preacher, did you sing in Navajo? Yeah, sure did. You say, well, did you pronounce the words right? I don't know. Nobody said I didn't. I just tried to read what was on the page. But what I'm saying is, why, just because I may not know the language, why should that stop me from trying to sing? These people sung, and they sung, and they sung, and listen, I'm convinced they'd have sung an hour if Brother Haynes would have kept going. But they were a singing people. You say, preacher, what does singing do? First of all, it opens the spirit, is what music does. Oh, by the way, the wrong kind of music can also close the spirit as well. And so they sung, and boy, I'm telling you, they would shout, they would say amen, they would sing, and I love to see people. When they're singing, they're kicked back and kind of bowed a little bit and just kind of projecting out. Listen, it wasn't just mamas and daddies. It was kids and teenagers, and everybody was singing for the glory of God. Hey, they didn't look at serving God as I have to. They looked at it as I get to serve God. And I'm telling you, it blessed my soul. You see, joy is one of those things that fuels our service and love for Christ. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's part of the strength that we get from our Christianity, is not losing the joy of being saved, not getting distracted, staying focused, singing when it's time to sing, and then have the attitude, it's not I have to serve, it's I get to serve Almighty God. You see, participation has a lot to do with fueling the joy tank. And man, I'm telling you, did these folks participate? I mean, it you know something that blessed me? Brother Haynes told me, he said, listen, oh, by the way, they had the largest attendance in the history of the church Sunday morning, 167 in church. There was not enough room in the auditorium for everybody to be seated. Brother Haynes said, listen, I need some people to get up and go get some chairs to line the aisle. Listen, I thought they were going to run over each other trying to get in there and get those chairs. He didn't have to say, can somebody help me? He just made the point to the need, and they'd have to run over each other trying to go get the chairs. Get it? You know where that comes from? That comes to having the joy of the Lord. That's where that comes from. And so what I'm saying to you is they had an overwhelming joy of the Lord. And you know what? I noticed that after every service they would come back rejoiced up again. They went home and got fueled up on the Word of God again. So I said, first of all, one of the things I noticed, overwhelming joy of the Lord. Another thing that I noticed was this, a spirit of thanksgiving. A spirit of thanksgiving. Take your Bible, if you would, for just a moment. Turn over there, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You'll recognize it. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 18. I want you to look at it. Okay, I'll give you a second to get there. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Remember, the Scripture says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. It didn't say some ways. It said always. Now look at it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything. Stop. Would that be kind of somewhat like all? Okay, he said, in everything, give what? Mm-hmm. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Second thing I noticed, a spirit of thanksgiving. I would, listen, folks. I'd conclude the service. Brother Haynes would get up, dismiss everybody. And he said, okay. And he'd pray, amen. And everybody just stand there. And they stood there and stayed and stood there and stayed. We were there for one night for almost an hour, and I don't know if anybody left. And you know what people were doing? They were going around. I was talking to them, and I talked to, like I said, a bunch of folks. Didn't hear anybody complaining, didn't hear anybody griping because they had the joy of the Lord, but they also were very thankful. Very, very thankful. I cannot tell you how many times I had people come and say, thank you, preacher, for sending the Haynes family to the res. Thank you, preacher, for supporting the ministries that are going on here. Thank you, thank you, thank you, over and over and over again. Had little kids come up to me. I'd be sitting on the front pew, and they came up there and shook my hand and said, thank you for coming to preach for us. 10, 11-year-olds. I bet if I heard the word thank you one time, I bet I heard it 100 times in 6 days. Very, very thankful. You know what they were? First of all, they were thankful for their church. Amen. And by the way, we've got some folks here, Tiffany and her family, and Ty, and I see Marie back here. Hey, listen, Justin's here. They'll tell you, there's churches of all kinds of flavor all over the reservation. Everywhere. But you know what they were thankful for? They were thankful for their church. They were thankful for that independent Baptist church sitting on the highway. And boy, I'm telling you, when they showed up, you could tell that they were thankful for their church. They were thankful for a church that preaches the truth. Now listen, folks, I'm telling you. Sometimes I can be hard. Let me tell you something. Brother Haynes stands up here. Amen, Esther. You don't cut him no slack. You don't cut the church. Listen, he told there were some kids, teenagers, texting one night. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. By the way, that's wrong, to be texting while church is going on. And so he corrected that little small problem. And you know what? Everybody said, amen, preacher. Nobody would say, you don't have the audacity of that preacher telling these kids they can't text them to. No, they backed him 100%. You know why? They're thankful for their church. They're thankful there's a church on the res like Ganada Baptist Church. By the way, there's others as well that preach the truth. They were thankful for their church that stands for Bible separation. Amen. I'm telling you, it's so easy to get off track. They were thankful for a church that preaches truth, thankful for Bible separation. They were thankful for a church that practices what it preaches. They practice what they preach. Listen, the people do not take their church for granted. They hold it as a sacred place. You know what I enjoyed? I enjoyed because every night I'd come and sit on the front row. And I was waiting for some kid to twist off. And you know, I didn't see one kid running in church. I didn't see one kid screaming in church. And if any of the kids in the church were disrupted, immediately the parents out. Even as while I was preaching. Amen. You know why? They're thankful for their church. They understand the importance of preaching. They understand the importance of what church is all about. Why? Because of a spirit of thanksgiving. They were thankful for their church. May I say, they were thankful that they had a place to serve God. Many of them were saved out of just incredible backgrounds. But may I say also, they were thankful for the people of God. Man, they were warm, loving, friendly, fellowshipping. Kind of treated each other like family. Just enjoyed fellowship and be around each other. And after church, man, we just kind of stand around, just kind of, you know, hang out. Shake hands, talk. Man, people would come up, we'd chit-chat a little while. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Don't be so quick to leave right after the amen. Okay? Hey, it's okay to stop and fellowship. And if you've got responsibilities, you have to go, then go. But you know what? Don't be so quick to leave. You say, well, you know what? The church, I just don't know everybody. Preacher, I think that things are getting too big here. I think that, well, you know what? That's not the church's fault. The thing about it is we don't hang out long enough around church. As soon as we say amen, man, listen, don't get in anybody's way because they're heading to the car, man. Mamas and daddies, hold on to your kids. Don't let them run out in the parking lot. Don't be so quick to leave. Get around to know people. You know what? You might find out that there are some people here that would love to build a friendship with you. Amen. Number three. Third thing I noticed, not only was a overwhelming joy of the Lord, not only a spirit of thanksgiving, but I noticed, number three, they had a vision of hope. A vision of hope. Proverbs 29:18, we use this verse quite often, but I want to make the application here where the people, or where there is no vision, the people perish. This church, the Navajo people have a vision. Listen, they got a world vision, but they also have a local vision for their people as well. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you, I don't think it's going to be long with all the people that's being called out. I'm excited about Justin and Tiffany going there. I'm excited about maybe God calling some other people out to go. Look, I'm telling you, if you went with me today, you closed your eyes and you didn't open your eyes again until we got on the reservation. You think, are we in America? Am I right? You knew you wouldn't know it. Because what I'm saying to you is it's like a country within a country. It's a mission field all itself. But the people have a vision of hope and a zeal for souls. We went out sowing. I flew in on Tuesday morning. We went out sowing on Tuesday. And so me and Joel Haynes went out into another community, and he was talking to some teenagers, and here was a lady walking down the street, and I stopped her and began to witness to her, found out she is already saved. And began to talk to her about coming to church. It's an area and where Joel and Fabiola are going to start a church, and I stopped this lady. And he had been, I didn't know this. I had no idea. I didn't know they had been praying about starting the church someplace in the home of someone that would be willing to open their home up for a Bible study to start in there. And so I'm witnessing to this lady and talk to her. She said, oh, I'm already saved. She said, I used to go to church, but it's way out there. I don't do that anymore. She said, I'm a Baptist. And I said, well, where do you go to church right now? She said, well, really don't have a place. She said, you know, I'd like to get something going. She said, I'd be willing to start one in my home. I didn't know this. So I brought her over to Joel, and I said, Joel, this lady right here, I just witnessed her. She's already saved, and said something about maybe interested in starting a Bible study in her home. Man, I thought Joel was fixing to have an out-of-body experience, man. I didn't know that they had been praying for that. I just stopped this lady on the street. But she was the one. She was the one. And matter of fact, last night, I think they went back. They were supposed to start last night. I believe. But the folks have a zeal for souls. Listen, they have a desire to start more churches. And I like it because Brother Haynes and Joel and his family, they're excited about what God's doing. And we probably traveled, I'm going to guess, a minimum of 500 miles. Brother Haynes took me all over the place. I went to towns like Steamboat, Window Rock, cornfields, where I got stung by a hornet right there. Thank you, Justin. If you want to know what that's about, you'll have to ask him. Went to a little community called Jetito. You know where Jetito is, don't you? took me back up in the area right there and showed me some facilities and stuff. They've had Bible clubs. Went to a place called Chinle and another place where Joel and Fabiola are starting their church. Oh, by the way, that we're fixing to have a part in purchasing that building. Y'all do remember that, right? Little town called Noslini. And that's where that building is. They're fixing to start it. But I went to all these towns and more. Some of them I can't even pronounce the name. But he took me to all these places, and as we drive around, he'd drive me up to a building and said, "Preacher, this is where we'd like to start a church in this town. This is where we'd like to start and meet right here." Then we'd drive another 30 or 40 miles to this other place. He'd say, "Preacher, this is where we'd like to start another church. This is where we'd like to have a Bible study and start a work right here." And listen, it was funny because I'd sit in the, and I'd, Brother Haynes and Joel were like two little kids in a candy shop. Because they saw all these opportunities. It's incredible. You say, "Preacher, they need some help." I don't know. Ask that guy right there. Over 200, almost a quarter of a million Navajos, I think he said, live on the reservation. Just a small handful of Baptist churches. I drove out to where the Yazis live. You don't go there by mistake. We were driving down the road. Next thing I know, Brother Haynes makes a sharp left, and man, we're going down this road. We're bumping and going back. I said, "Where are we going?" He said, "I'm taking you back out here where the Yazis live." And we went and went. I said, "They live back here?" He said, "Oh, yeah, we still got a ways to go." And we drove back there, and from where the road is, we stopped on the road. He said, "That's where they live, right over yonder." And we looked out there, and it's still probably, what, quarter of a mile off the road back there? That we didn't have time to stop. They weren't, nobody was home. I think your parents were working. Yeah, I think so. And so there was nobody home. But you know something? Folks everywhere. They're everywhere. They had a vision, though. Has anybody looked out your window lately? Can I tell you, in Dallas-Fort Worth, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. There's communities all around here. Can I tell you? Not one independent Baptist church in those areas. Some of these churches, I'm going to guess probably the little town of Noslini can't be 20 miles maybe. Is that about right? Down another area they're going to start another church here is a place called Cornfields. It can't be more than 15 miles probably. You say, "Well, they're awful close together," but there's people everywhere. They're everywhere. And can I say to you folks, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, when I saw the people of Ganado Baptist Church and the Navajo people stand up with tears running down their face and saying, "Listen, if God will let me, I'll go and start a church in such and such place." During that missions conference, we had two married couples surrender to the ministry. Had two teenagers and two other kids surrender to the ministry. Had four people saved and three baptized during that meeting. I spent an entire day planning the process of opening the Granada Baptist Bible Institute, which will be an extension of Trinity Baptist Bible College that will open its doors next August of 2012. So we spent a whole day planning that. You know why? Because they want to educate the people. Educate the people, prepare the people, they go out and start churches. Just in that church right there, just in Ganado Baptist alone, there's already three families surrendered to preach that are waiting for the Institute to open up. On June 1st and 2nd, if everything works out right, Dr. Reed will be flying out there to put the finishing touches on the college and present the college and show the folks the connection that we'll have there. They're fixing to build a building. The people had a vision. They had a vision to educate the people. They had a vision to expand the facilities. They're fixing to add on to a building there. Can I say something to you folks? We need to have a vision to expand. He said, "Preacher, where are we going to expand?" Right across the street over here. See that building right over there? I want that building. So how are we going to get it?
Pray.
That's how you're going to get it. You say, oh, come on, preacher. You say, what are we going to do with it? Well, I don't have time to tell you. But there's a lot of things we could do with that building and property right across the street. You have not because you? Number four, real quick. Not only did I see an overwhelming joy of the Lord and a spirit of thanksgiving and a vision of hope, the last thing that I jotted down was this. When I would get finished preaching and give the invitation, people couldn't even get to the altar. There were so many people coming. Here's the fourth thing. They had a responsive spirit to the Lord. When the preaching was done, brother, they responded. Amen. I'm afraid we over here in the big city, I think we've kind of gotten too big for the altar. Come on now. We've gotten too big. And what happens is we're afraid that if we go to the altar, somebody might think, well, why are they going to the altar? Well, who matters? What does it matter what people think? Hey, if I need to come to the altar, or by the way, if I don't need to come to the altar, I ought to come anyway just so I don't get out of the habit of it. Listen, we had people coming. Brother Haynes would have to come down off the platform and he'd have to say, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. And they were 5 and 6 deep at the altar so he could get to somebody that raised their hand that wanted to be saved. And they stayed and they stayed. Oh, by the way, you know something else? When they got to the altar, I heard a lot of people weeping. Teenage boy, y'all know Jamal? Came down to the altar. And I mean, just started weeping, crying, shaking. Brother Haynes went back and talked to him and just broken over family needs, over people. Remember that teenage girl I told you was coming back to youth conference? She was over here and she was weeping for a mom and dad lost without Christ. And then there was another couple over here, old Fillmore and his wife. They were over here. They were weeping. Why? Because God was calling him to preach. And man, I'm just sitting there and people are crying and weeping and they're getting on their knees and they're looking up to heaven thanking God, tears running down their face. Let me tell you something. It was exciting. I don't want to say something to you, Trinity Baptist Church. That's how we ought to be. You say, what makes the difference, preacher? These people have gone all the way for the Lord. They've reached a place in life they have nothing to lose. They have everything to gain. And they responded with an open spirit to the Lord. Hey, listen, there was no routine to the service. Altars were filled, people weeping. People responded to the altar at the invitation. Now let me just finish and say this. We must never forget, church, what made our church a lighthouse in this city. 27 years ago, when I came to this church and got saved, I remember many, many times, and many, many times since that day, when the invitation would be given. And I remember stepping out of the aisle many times and have to wait because there'd be so many people coming down the aisle. I have to wait to get out. Now, you know what? I could throw a hand grenade down here and blow up, not kill anybody. You say, what's the problem, preacher? We ain't gone all the way. That's the difference. You know, I want Trinity Baptist Church, as I began to sit on that platform and I began to look at all the people as they came. Joy, excitement, desire, weeping for souls, responsive to the Lord. Can I say to you, Trinity Baptist Church, if we lose our joy of serving, if we lose our thankful heart or vision of hope or responsive spirit, then we become nothing more than a shell of a church. We've got to avoid Ichabod. Can I say something to you? It can start with one person.
are one group of people.
Say, preacher, when did you preach this to us tonight? Because let me tell you something. God did something in that meeting in just in those few days. Largest attendance. Hey, listen, they didn't have a large attendance because I was there. They had a large attendance because the people had a vision. That's why the attendance was 167. That's the reason there wasn't enough room. People were, even when the chairs were filled, some people had to sit on the floor. Just ask him. You think God could do that here? It's got to start somewhere. I'm just asking, who's it going to start with? You say, "Oh, preacher, I want to go on a missions trip." You know what? We could have a missions trip right here. If God would get a hold of some folks, come down to this altar, and we begin to weep for souls again. If we got concerned about our relatives and our neighbors and others, if we got a vision about starting churches all over the metroplex, you say, "Preacher, aren't you afraid to start a church over here and start?" Why? Aren't we here to reach souls? Aren't we? Listen, the hope of America is not one church running 5,000. The hope of America is having 500 churches running 100, 150. That's how we're going to reach America right there. I'm just asking, are you willing to go all the way? Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Nobody's looking. How many can say, "Preacher, I'm saved"? No question. Way up high. Way up high and say, "That's me. I've been born again. I've accepted Christ as Savior. No question about it." All right. God bless you. You can put